Thank you. I think I would like to move on to the final wrap-up of our conference, and I would like to invite the International Advisory Board to come to the front. And I'll briefly introduce the ones you that haven't been introduced yet. So I'll start by Ulf Wuggenig. He is Professor of Sociology of Art at the Institute of Philosophy and Sciences of Art at the University of Lüneburg. And he is Director of the Kunstraum and Dean of the Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences at the same university. And then we have Olivier Möschler. Where are you? He is a sociologist and research associate at the Institute of Social Sciences of the University of Lausanne, and he's interested in the various aspects raised by the analysis of culture and arts. He teaches at the University of Applied Sciences in Geneva, and he's also in charge of the domain culture at the Federal Statistical Office, where he works on national cultural statistics. And then I have Jackie McManus sitting next to Olivier. She lives in London, where she's an independent education consultant, and she previously worked as the head of widening participation programs at University of the Arts London and as a researcher for the social policy unit Youth Aid. And now she is planning a research on the link between poverty and higher education in post-industrial areas of the UK. Sorry, this is your project. And then Ruth Sonderegger. Ruth Sonderegger is a professor in philosophy and aesthetic theory at the Akademie der Bildenden Künste in Wien, and her research topics are aesthetic, cultural studies, critical theories, and resistance studies. I think there we are, yes. And now I would like you to ask to share your perspective on art school differences from your experience on having been on the board for the last 3 years. And indeed, you have accompanied us in issuing the research report and also in receiving the statements by the schools, which was actually your last sort of task in art school differences. And then I also would like you to share how, from your perspective, a disciplinary perspective, but also from your positionings or personal perspective, inclusion and exclusion in higher education should be further addressed now, looking beyond art school differences and to 2017. And I would like you to, yes, take turns and talk to each other. Yes.
Okay, this is awkward. So, I'm going to make a start. So, Philipp, du sollst den Computer stehen lassen. So, I'm going to make the beginning. Actually, I was yesterday already referencing my very strong relationship with art school differences, because not only was the entire research design an amazing inspiration and resource for the research that I then proposed, which was repeatedly rejected in Rotterdam. So that was extremely important also in terms of having alliances, which I think is particularly important in this work around diversity, because the sort of repercussions that I talked about yesterday are not singular. And it was just so wonderful to realize, oh, wait a minute, I am not crazy. My work is good. And there are other people not just I'm not in like only talking about art school differences. I think almost everyone in the room is like part of the choir, so we're all working in the field, and so it is important to have these moments of sharing. And I think this is also what I really appreciated in terms of the advisory board. And your second question was.
You would think inclusion and exclusion, you know, now yeah. beyond art school differences and from your perspective?
I think that, thank you so much, Sophie. I think that the that the composition that we're having with having, for instance, I'm just going to bring a few examples, but that there are people who have conducted quite similar research at different times. Then there's someone like Melissa who is now implementing this like broader project of change on a national level, or someone, and then there's someone like myself who is also like constantly trying to think about how can we bring different epistemologies into the school. Is actually the institution, is the school really the place? I don't really know, etc., etc. How can the work become instrumentalized? How am I as a person becoming instrumentalized, etc.? And with the current political changes, and with the outcomes of this study, with the sharing of different knowledges in this project, I think that the that going beyond, that we have enough resources to make real impacts and social change, and the problem is really like the epistemologies that we're using and that we are utilizing and constantly reproducing, and therefore like to go beyond this project. I think this project is highly underestimated in terms of its impact, and this is a compliment. Again, I think it is still underestimated. It will have a great impact, maybe not now. It's like one of those things where it's going to be like, yeah, well, we told you. You know, but this, well, we told you is actually has actually been happening since the colonial explorations and etc. So we told you so, right? So it's just a different method to say we told you so, which is really interesting and impactful. And I'm wondering what else we would have to develop in order to make voices heard that are actually completely ignored and systematically undermined. So that is for me like the broader, big picture that this research has opened up for me. And then on the small scale, of course, you sit in an I'm sitting in an institution where I still, you know, for me, it's like really working with the students, which is the greatest part of the job, because they know that this is crap most of the time that they have been exposed to for a very long time. And that's like where so all of a sudden there's like something, there's an energy. And that energy, once you step through that door, there is no going back. And that's the good thing. That's my statement.
Shall I continue? Anybody else? Okay. First of all, I also want to thank everybody from Art School Differences, because it was from the very first day, even before it started, when I had the honor to be part of discussions before the project started. It was one occasion after the other of learning, of getting good feedback, seeing a network grow with ever new students, teachers, scholars. So it's first of all, I'm so grateful to everybody who was involved in the project, and I would just like to say thank you. And it was also very empowering in some sense, because this project started when, in a time when several efforts in Vienna, from where I come, several efforts to continue a preliminary study and to do more research didn't get funding for several times until this day. But I think it's, I learned that it's enough to know it's going on elsewhere. And I think at some point it will be possible in Rotterdam or I don't know where, because you did it earlier in the UK. So I think there is this network, and it's like it gives me a lot of hope and a good energy to know that it's happening somewhere. And this is a place to meet people who have knowledge about past projects and who have ideas about future projects. So it was a lot of energy, a lot of good responses, and a lot, I mean, in the first instance, a lot of learning for me, and I'm grateful for that. And as far as the future is concerned, I mean, I think one element from really strikes me and keeps striking me as far as the findings are concerned, and this is something with which I think Philip opened last night, namely this coincidence of the going up of numbers of foreign students and the going down of numbers of students with a migrational background. And I think you, Petya, brought it up also. I think this has to be correlated with the recent border regimes. And I think this is something that should be researched not only in one country, but in several countries. And I think it's not only in terms of higher education very important, but this is for the whole of Europe. This is I think this is really crucial to think about how to research that and to implement knowledge and protest against this widening gap.
Yeah, I'm very grateful as well to have, and honoured to have been invited to be on the International Advisory Board, and very honoured to have my work, Art for a Few, in the reader. I think that the work is really important, and it's really encouraging for me to see other countries critiquing equalities and inequalities in art and design, particularly because I feel that I think it was Ruth who mentioned earlier about how art and design all sees itself as avant-garde. I've really enjoyed working with the fantastic colleagues on the International Advisory Board and meeting over the past few days the students who are so articulate, they speak better English than me, I realised. And I was really encouraged to hear you seriously holding the panel to account yesterday, and I hope you continue to do that. I wrote Art for a Few with Professor Penny Jane Burke about 7 years ago, and 10 years ago I wrote a precursor to that called Every Word Starts with Dis, which is about how we use all this terminology about in the UK about being disadvantaged and disaffected, when actually what we're doing is disrespecting people. And I just want to let you know that the furore that the research has received is a complete mirror of what happened when Art for a Few and Every Word Starts with Dish were published. And I don't know if everybody's familiar with this idea of the carrot and the stick, that if you can't use the carrot to entice people to change, you have to start using the stick. And what's happened in Britain is that now, this year, for the first time, the government started to publish the rates of working class students in getting into art school and getting into universities. And the art schools were cited as the sector least likely to admit working class applicants. So I felt very vindicated, especially when it was on the front page of a big newspaper. So I would say, I know it's not ideal now, but take heart in terms of, as Nana said, the long-term impact of it. In terms of the future, I think the real thing that we need to pay attention to, which I think Ruth mentioned, is the marketisation and globalisation of higher education, and how I think we're kind of moving inequalities around the world. And I think that's something that we really need to pay attention to.
I also want to thank the project, because I think we brought some elements to the project, but we learned a lot ourselves. I learned a lot on this research project. Switzerland is not maybe not the first country you think about when talking on decolonization and post-colonial studies and so on. So I think it's an approach that also challenges classical cultural sociology. So I think I learned a lot on this project. It challenges sociology, but it also challenges the institutions, as we saw yesterday evening. And I'm among the people that are very glad that there has been these resistances, because they show that the project was necessary and is still necessary. So if the schools would have said, oh, thank you very much, that's wonderful, and okay, we're happy with the report, it would have been suspect. So I think the project was showed the gap that is existing, and the resistance shows the gap that still exists between the ideals of these schools and the reality of these schools. And how should it go on? I asked myself, hearing also, listening yesterday to the person of the ZHDK, maybe one question one could ask is, if do art schools, do they have to reflect the market, or do they have to reflect the society, actually? Because one argument is always to say, we have to produce the kind of persons that find jobs in this market, which is taken for not for granted, but as a finished, as a determined thing. And maybe and they don't ask themselves if the school should more reflect the society in which they are, the population in which they are inscribed in. And yeah, that would be maybe to see the school not only as an institution that answers to a demand of the market, but that produces new forms of new for the market, not for the society, but new for the market, new forms of diplomies, of artists, if you want to say, name it like that. And maybe as the three schools asked, how do we go on? Maybe it would be a further project for you, half research, half action, for us to try to find solutions with these schools. Maybe it's the third project that is beginning. Who knows? So thank you very much.
The first thing that I wanted to say is that I am very impressed by the research group of this art school, because it's not quite evident that in an art school a really basic sociological research on a question on diversity can be carried out. And I'm saying this as having been about 10 years the head of the commission of evaluation of my university, because the reaction of the direction of this art school wanted to say that this research is methodologically flawed, but that's not true at all. It's very impressively made on basis of factorial analysis and on logistic regression, and I fear that the people who read it did not understand it at all, what they are speaking about. On the other hand, also the theoretical approach is for me very convincing, because we have on the one hand an approach towards diversity, which is a problem based on perception, on illusionary perception of the world based on sexism, racism, and things the like. And on the other hand, we have the traditional sociological research, which is dealing with so-called real differences, like economic ones or social ones. And in this research, these two perspectives, which are often opposed and fighting against one the other, the one, the cultural left, the other, the social left, is integrated. And for that, they have done very fine work. On the other hand, I also can understand the problem that these art schools have, because these art schools are centers of this charismatic ideology. And they have the big problem that they don't really know who will be successful and who will be not successful. They're saying they can choose on the basis of talents and things like that. But if you look what the people are doing afterward, it's often or most often not possible to predict it. There's much research on this topic, and I refer, for instance, to a creativity research where psychologists, most famous psychologists and cognitive scientists like Howard Gardner at Harvard, are saying the results of the art schools, that the people are not able to predict the success of their students. That shows that creativity can't be based on individual features. It's a complete social construction. And for that, the reference to the labor market or the reference to the market are very silly in my from my point of view, because they don't know what the market is expecting. And even if they would, what is this a kind of self-understanding to say an art school has to orient itself towards the market? That's heteronomous, that's the contrary of innovative action. Regarding an action plan for the future, I would suggest a very pragmatic approach to try to implement it in a so-called, I don't know what's the term in Switzerland, in Germany, it's the development plan of the university. And in these development plans, you are specifying the positions. And it's usual in a university to specify, to have someone who deals with diversity, to hire people who are able to deal with this problem that. Yeah. And I think that should be the next step.
I'll keep it very short. Thank you very much, Carmen, Sophie, everybody who's been involved in the project. It's been a truly amazing experience for me, obviously, partly because it's introduced me to Switzerland and I've seen the beauty of Zurich, which has been very special. I think that what has been really impressive for me in the project is the scope, the fact that it's involved different art schools and in that way has had, I think, the possibility of having quite a big national impact, you know. And also the creativity. I think that the design and the way in which the research has been done has been unusual, working with the co-researchers. And I think that it's also been very thorough and, you know, for many other reasons then also an exciting project to be involved in. In terms of the way ahead, it's difficult for me to think really. I mean, obviously one could have a whole lot of wish lists. And certainly one would be, is it possible to do this, you know, internationally? Can we do something that's going to involve different countries, even if these are just only within Europe, you know? And what would the outcomes be of a project like that? But I don't know how realistic, how practical that is. So I'll hold back on the way ahead and watch everybody else come up with a practical and contextually sound way of thinking through what must come now.
So from my side, I would personally thank, and also in the name of all of us from Art School Differences, you as the International Advisory Board. It has been wonderful and is wonderful to work with you. You have fulfilled so many functions especially also being a very proved firewall against a lot of attacks, but also, you know, in terms of care and self-care for us, it was so good to know that, you know, you are behind us and that we can approach you in any situation of emergency or non-emergency and also think together. I think it is now my part to conclude. Is that right? Yeah. The conference. And I wonder, I mean, we are like 5 minutes over time already, but because you, Melissa, were mentioning the students' protests and the complexity of the student protests in South Africa and linking it to the notion of decolonization, my desire would be to share a video with you, which we subbed, it's in Portuguese, but colleagues of mine and myself, we subtitled it in English and in Spanish and in Arabic and in German just 2 weeks ago when we had a network meeting in Sao Paulo in Brazil. And it is a secondary student from Brazil speaking to the Parliament of Paraná, because, and I would like to show you the video even if it is like 8 minutes long, because I would like to end this conference with an outlook on those student protests under the keyword of decolonization, because it would mean that we conclude this conference with a lot of hope, you know, and a positive outlook. So the background is that since the government, the right-wing government has taken control in Brazil and has threatened the educational and the social sector with severe cuts, which equal a kind of dismantling of the current education system. Secondary students, that means 16-year-old young people, have started to occupy their schools and to reorganize their learning, often together in alliance with the teachers which are working at that schools, not all the time. And whereas 4 months ago it was about 100 schools occupied all over the country, it is the number now has risen to 1,600 schools, and it's growing on a daily basis. So if you don't mind, I would like to share this video with you. I don't want to hold you captive. If you have to go before, you don't, you know, even if you are drawn in the lottery, we have your address. You are not here maybe anyway. And then afterwards, we would also ask you to come and eat with us. We have like 50 places reserved.